stand on our feet right now. Can we give God a praise? How many is glad to be in church the first Sunday of 2018? Let's just give God some glory right now. Let him know how much we love him today. Lord, we thank you that we survived a week in the cold. Amen. Y'all can be seated. I just want to give a little update about George and Elise. As you know, George had to have a little surgery this past week, and he came out flying colors, and so we're thankful for that. They're both doing well. Mom's doing well. Keep them in prayer, and we believe God has a special plan for their lives, and we've been praying for that, and so thank you all for all that you do. Danielle's doing great, and she's just trying to get some rest and recover. Some of you know how that goes, and we believe that it's going to be a process of a couple months probably before we're out of Springfield, but we believe that it's going to happen, and we'll be home sooner than later, and we'll be in church with George and Elise, and you all will get to meet them. So I want to just share a message I received last night, and how many knows that sometimes God uses unusual circumstances to let you know that you're still on his radar. And it's not easy to see your little boy, little two-pound boy, being wheeled back to surgery. And you feel so kind of helpless, and you wish it was almost like it was you instead of them. But any of you remember last year, we were in the Fort Lauderdale airport when there was a security situation. Actually, there was a live shooter. I think five people were killed, and we were kind of caught in all that, and Danielle and I were separated, and I had to leave the airport on foot, and I ended up in a park, and a random stranger offered me a ride, and come to find out it was the assistant city manager of the city, and he was a huge help, kind of a godsend, and connected Danielle and I back together later that night. It was about 6 hours we were separated, and I don't know what I would have done without him. But he wrote me a couple nights ago, and it was after George's surgery. And Danielle and I, we were just kind of emotionally exhausted. And I really believe that this was a message from God. We were just kind of sitting in our room, and we were so tired we couldn't even really talk. It was just kind of an exhausting day. And then I heard a little ding on my phone, and it was Chris, the gentleman from Fort Lauderdale that helped me, and he sent me a message, and I just want to read it for you guys because I believe God uses these types of things to encourage us and to build our faith. And he says, "Jeremy, Danielle, Happy New Year. I can't believe today is the eve of our unfortunate opportunity to meet in Fort Lauderdale. In that terrible event, some things happen for a reason, and we will never be able to explain why. I can't tell you how happy I am, my wife and son included, to watch y'all bring the twins into this world. My son Paul entered in a similar way. He was a 2-pound, 1-ounce preemie that had intestinal surgery when he was 36 hours old, which is basically the same surgery George had. We were NICU parents and watched our tiny guy struggle to put on fractions of ounces every day. Your pictures bring back amazing memories. Doctors are amazing and skillful, and George looks awesome. I know we only met for a couple hours, but it's in these moments where sometimes we find real connections. God works in great ways." Isn't that awesome? And I read that message aloud to Danielle, and we both just started weeping because it was just a subtle reminder from God, I know where you're at, and I have the right person. And I don't even know what Chris's spirituality is, but God used him that day. And so I'm so thankful for that. All right, so we're getting ready to enter into the fasting season. And we got some great fasting guides out in the foyer. And if you have the presence of mind, remember, stop by there after church today and grab one of those fasting guides. And it will help you kind of come up with a game plan for this upcoming fast. How many is ready to see what God's going to do through this fast? Amen? And so get a plan, and don't be intimidated by the 21 days, and don't be intimidated by the word fasting. That doesn't mean you have to go hungry for 21 days, but you do need to challenge yourself. Find something that you can challenge yourself with and pick a fast that's right for you. And I think I said this last week that Danielle and I, we're not going to push it as much as we usually do because of our situation, but I am going to try to challenge myself in some way. And when we fast, you know what it does? It disconnects us from this world. It disconnects us from worldly patterns that we've got in. And, you know, we've just left Christmas and we've been going to parties and we've just been going nonstop. And this kind of reconnects us with God. And so I want to really encourage you, if you could, get on board with this fast, because it's going to be a life changer. It's going to be a game changer. Anybody believe that? How many knows from past years that God does incredible things to this fast? So grab one of those fasting guides. And also, I'm just going to run down here real fast. I think I brought one of these out here. Yeah, here we go. All right, so after church today, I've got about 200 of these magnets, and we're asking one for each household. And it says kind of what we're going to be talking about this year and kind of our theme for this year, and that there will be miracles. And how many of you, like, we've got people, like, we've got Christmas cards. Like, we've put a magnet on a Christmas card in our fridge from, like, 2014. And we're still seeing that family from 2014. And every time I go get a glass of milk, I see, you know, the whatever family from 2014, because we've never pulled that magnet down. Well, magnets are a great way to put it on your fridge. And whenever you're feeling discouraged and you see this, you're going to be encouraged. Amen? And so I want to encourage everybody, go out there, grab one of these magnets after church. I think we're going to have people passing those out, because there will be miracles. How many believe that? There will be miracles this year. And that's what I want to talk about today. I want to go to Exodus chapter 14, and we're going to talk today about there will be miracles. Exodus 14, the Lord said to Moses, tell the people of Israel to turn back and encamp in front of Pehareth, between Migdal and the sea, and in front of Baal Zephon, and you shall encamp facing it by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the people of Israel, they are wandering in the land, the wilderness has shut them in, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them, and I will get glory over Pharaoh and all his host, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. And they did so. All right, in this text here, in this place in Exodus, children of Israel, they've been brought out of Egypt. God delivered them with a mighty hand. God did 10 plagues brought 10 plagues upon Egypt that were supernatural. And the one that really kind of brought about their freedom was the death of the firstborn of all of Egypt. And what it really, the purpose of the plagues was to show that God was in control and Egypt was not. And Israel leaves Egypt out of the mighty hand of God, and they're en route through the desert. They've left Egypt, and God tells Moses, he says, I want you to put the people, I want you to lead them right next to the sea, which is the Red Sea. And if you look at these places that's mentioned in this scripture, I know they're hard to pronounce, but basically, they were trapped between mountains and the sea. And God told him specifically to go there. Now, let's think about that for a minute. Doesn't that sound like really terrible tactical advice? He says, I want you to take them, and I want you to put them right next to the sea and right next to these mountains, because Pharaoh's about to come back, and he's about to pursue you, because he's going to try to take you back. And what I want to tell you today is that sometimes God leads us into places that don't make sense. Anybody else ever been there? And our job is simply to do this. Our job is simply to follow God's presence and to God's voice to where he leads us. And the miracle is not on me. Amen, somebody. The miracle's not on me. The miracle's on God. If I'm obedient and I follow God where he says to go, the miracle is not on me. The miracle's on God. And amen. Go ahead and praise God for that. Amen. And so that they followed God to this specific place. And let me tell you, did it surprise God when the Egyptians tried to come back and take them? Did it surprise God that they were in this predicament. No, because God told them to go there specifically. And what I want to tell you today is that whatever you experience in 2018, whatever problem you face, it doesn't surprise God. God is not in heaven with his fingers crossed. God's not worried about the situation. He knows why you're there. He's the one that led you there, and he has a way out if you just hold on and see the salvation of the Lord work itself out. Somebody praise God with me today. And God tells Moses why he wants him to lead the people there. And in verse 4, he says, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart, and I will pursue them, and I will get glory over Pharaoh and all of his hosts, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. In other words, sometimes God puts us in a big mess. Let me rephrase that. Sometimes God allows us to go through a big mess. Because he knows the bigger the mess, the bigger the problem, the more glory he's going to get. Amen. God knows that you don't get Red Sea-sized miracles without Red Sea-sized problems. And what you have to realize is the problem's not about you, and the miracle's not about you. It's all about God. It's all about God showing himself to be mighty. It's all about God showing himself to be powerful. It's all about God showing himself to be in control, as we just sung about a few minutes ago. Our God is in control. And whatever he's allowed me to walk through, there's a purpose and a reason for why he's allowed me to do that. And he will make a way. There will be miracles if I just hold on and I wait to see the salvation of the Lord. Has anybody ever seen it in your life? And here's what we got to realize, is that God is more concerned about his glory than my comfort. God is more concerned about his glory than my comfort. And that's what, in this touchy-feely snowflake generation we have, where we're all about feelings, we're all about emotions, God's really not concerned with that. God's really not concerned with my emotions. And because you know what? Emotions will fail me. Emotions are not stable. But what will always get me through is my faith, when I know without a shadow of a doubt who God is, what his character is, what he's done in the past, and my belief in what he will do in the future. Why? Because that transcends my emotions. Amen. My trust in God isn't dependent upon emotions. You know, the other night, we were getting ready for little George's surgery. And I told Danielle, I said, here's what we need to do. Right now, we need to give him back to God. We don't need to wait for a dedication ceremony. We don't need to wait for any of that. Right now, we need to just tell the Lord, he's yours. We're just stewards of the gift, right? And why? Because at that point, the miracle's not on us. The miracle's on God. God, you're the one that gave him to us. We're giving him back to you. It's your problem. You're big enough to handle it. Amen. Amen. So God knows every battle that you'll face this year. Nothing surprises him or catches him off guard. He's the one that told Moses where to go. He's the one that told Moses, park yourself by the Red Sea and between the mountains. Park yourself where there's absolutely no other place to run. And sometimes we got to expand our faith. Sometimes we got to test the limits. And we got to go where God says to go, even when it doesn't make sense. And now's the time not to get comfortable. Now's not the time to find a place where there's a good escape route. We need to push our faith to the limits. We need to push ourselves to the max. Why? Because God's going to do greater things the more that we trust him. The more that we trust him, the more glory he's going to get. And what we got to realize is we got to look at every problem, that this problem is an opportunity for God to get glory. Every problem that comes your way, you say, God, I don't know how you're going to do it. This doesn't make sense to me. This isn't what I would do. But somehow you're going to get glory out of this. And Lord, even if you don't perform the miracle, even if you don't heal my son, you know what? I'm going to give you praise. And if nothing else, you're going to get glory out of my praise and worship. As I walk through a terrible situation, I still trust you. I still believe you. God, if you don't heal me in 2018, I still believe that you heal. I still believe that you love me. I still believe that you provide, because you are a sovereign God. You are a powerful God. You are my Lord. I wonder if somebody could stand with me and we could have a little bit of church here today. I trust you, Jesus. I trust you, God. Yeah. We believe, God. We're going to give you glory no matter what comes our way. So the purpose of the miracles aren't so that we can validate ourselves, but that the world will see that there's a God who rules supreme over all else. So they take themselves there, and guess what? It happens just as God said it would. Egypt comes back to pursue the Israelites. And in verse 10, it says, when Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you've taken away us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt? Is it not this, what we said to you in Egypt, leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians. iPad malfunction. There we go. Than to die in the wilderness. And Moses said to the people, fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent. All right, I want you to see here what happens is that everybody wants a miracle until you actually need one. Everybody, in theory, is all for miracles. I'm all for miracles as long as it's someone else's baby. I'm all for miracles as long as it's not me that has cancer. I'm all for miracles until it's me that doesn't have the problem. Then when we have the problem, we kind of get this poor me and we start to question God attitude, don't we? Is what you have to realize is that God has miracles for me. I may not need one now. There might not be a dire problem right now, but there's going to come a time in my life where I'm going to need a miracle. And I have to start building my faith for that time. And what we see here is that it says if we go back to verse 10 for a second, when Pharaoh drew near, the people lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them. And what happened? They feared greatly. They became afraid. And I want you to see what happened after they became afraid. What happened? They start talking negatively. They say, is it because there's no graves in Egypt that God brought us out here to kill us? And that's what happens when we start to believe our fears, as we start talking negatively. And what I want to tell you this is that your miracle often is dependent upon your mouth. What you will say in the storm has a lot to do with what will happen and what will come about of it. You can either kill your faith with what you say, or you can build your faith with what you say. Words are very powerful. That everything that we see was created by the word of God, by a word of faith. And you can bring your whole household into an atmosphere of doubt and unbelief based on negative words, negative thinking. And I want to tell you that there will be miracles. However, you can stop the flow of the miraculous in your life by the words that you say. And I'll tell you this, the more positive you speak, the more faith that you speak, the more miracles you see. There are miracles that happen around us every day, but a lot of us, we can't even see it because we're so negative and we talk so negatively. And so your mouth is a powerful weapon in the storm. What you say, you got to guard your mouth. You got to be careful that you speak faith, that you speak life, because we can kill the promise based on negative things that we say. You can say things that will kill an attitude of faith in your heart. And so whatever you focus on will demand your attention. Notice that immediately Israelites, they don't focus on God. Now let's think about that for a second. He's delivered them from the world's largest empire at the time with a large military. He's done it with 10 plagues, and only God could do what he did for them. And all it takes is for one soldier to cross over that mountain and start coming towards them, and they're already speaking doubt. Well, we should have just stayed in Egypt. We shouldn't have even come. We should have just stayed. God shouldn't have even gone through all the trouble of those plagues. We would have been better off. Our kids would have been better off being slaves. What a bunch of junk. And sometimes Danielle has to do this with me. Make sure you're careful who you do this to. You got to give them a little pop in the mouth and say, shut your mouth. That's a bunch of junk. That's a bunch of unbelief and doubt, and I don't want to hear it. Shut it up. If your kids don't say that. Come on now. There's some serious just junk that can come out of our mouth sometimes. I would have been better off not even, why did God even save me if he allowed? Shut your mouth. That everybody goes through problems. The question is whether you're going to have God or not when you go through the problem. I'm not the only person with babies in a hospital, right? The difference is I got Jesus. I got a God that I know I can depend on. And so whenever you go through a problem this year, don't start talking negative. Don't start talking negative about God. God did not bring you this far to leave you alone. If he's brought you to this point, it's because he wants to do something supernatural in your life. And you just got to let him do it. You just got to let go and let God have his way. So what you say in the midst of your problem will play a tremendous role in what outcome you experience. And so they begin to talk negatively, and Moses has to confront them. Moses has to give them some instructions. Now, I want you to see these things. Moses gives them four instructions. And number one, he says, fear not. Moses said to the people, fear not. You see, because their negativity all started with their fear. And, you know, it's not a sin to be afraid sometimes. We're all going to be afraid. But what we can't allow to happen is for fear to control us. I refuse to let fear paralyze me and control me, because that's what it can do if you allow it. It can control your thoughts. It can control your decisions. Where you become paralyzed by fear, you don't take any risks anymore. You don't do anything adventurous. You're just like these people, their mindset is, we should have just stayed in Egypt and not bothered anybody and just been slaves. And that's exactly what you will be if you let fear control your life. I would rather die in a journey, in an adventure with God, than I would in Egypt doing nothing, being a slave. I would rather try something in faith with God rather than to stay where I've always been under the slavery of Egypt. And fear will try to get you to stay right where you've always been. What will you listen to, the voice of fear or the voice of God? You know what fear is? Fear is faith in reverse. Fear is demonic faith. You ever known somebody that kind of had like, their faith in the negative, their faith in the devil was greater than their faith in God? Just like whatever you mention, they have a fearful statement to come back with. Oh, well, that will probably never happen. Oh, we would love to do that, but we'll probably get sick, right? And you know what that is? You know what negativity is? You know what negative talking is? At the bottom line of it is this, is that it's fear. If you're ever around somebody that's really cynical, that's really full of doubt, and that's all they ever talk about, somewhere along the line they've probably been hurt. And really what it is a spirit of fear. I'm not going to trust people. I'm not going to get too close in my relationship with God. I'm not going to get too involved in church because I've been hurt. And it's all related to fear. And you have to cast fear out of your life. Somebody needs to just say that, I cast fear out of my life. God has not given us the spirit of what? Fear. He's given us a spirit of power. Amen. How many knows we're going to do incredible things in 2018? We're going to see incredible things happen. Just because we faced some things in this last year, Just because there's going to be some battles this year doesn't mean I'm not going to move forward and I'm not going to do some great things in God. Amen. You have to tell fear to get out of here. You got to tell fear to leave the room. If you have to go home and you have to open the door and say, fear, leave. You got to take some spiritual authority over fear in your life or it will control you. So the first thing he tells them is to fear not. Second thing he says is this, stand firm. Stand firm. You see, they're standing out by this Red Sea and this army's coming from them. What's the tendency we have when someone's chasing us? To run. And Moses says this. He says, don't you move. Stand firm. Now is not the time to be afraid of the devil. Now is not the time to run towards Egypt. Now is the time to stand firm. Stand firm in our faith. Stand firm in our convictions. Stand firm in who we know God is. Why? Because God's about to do some supernatural things if we don't mess it up. If we don't abort the miracle by running back towards Egypt. If we don't surrender our values. We don't surrender our convictions. We don't surrender our prayer life. We don't surrender things about us that have got us this far. We've got to hold on and we've got to stand firm. How many knows that we don't need to look to the right or the left? We don't need to try to find a way to help God out. That if we just stand right where we are, he says, and you're going to see the salvation of the Lord. That if I just stand right where I know I need to be, and I'm just going to stand right here, and I'm going to love God, I'm going to love people, I'm going to keep believing, I'm going to keep believing that the best is going to happen, I'm going to have faith in God, I'm going to stand on his word, he is going to perform the miracle. Why? Because the miracle's on him. The miracle's on him. Look at your neighbor and say, stand firm. Now is not the time to look for other ways to live. Now is not the time to compromise. Now is not the time to try to find a way to help God out. He has the answer. We just got to stay right where we're at. I'm concerned by the people I see that aren't standing firm. They're going the wrong direction. They're going back towards Egypt. And some of us, all it takes is for Pharaoh just to raise his head up a little bit and we're going back towards Egypt. We're going back to the things that we left. We're going back to the drugs. We're going back to the alcohol. I want to tell you, now is not the time to do that. Stand firm. Stand firm. God delivered you from those things for a reason. Stand firm. Come on, somebody. Stand firm. If we see somebody we think that's getting a little weak, you need to encourage them. Say, stand firm. God's about to do something incredible if you don't leave, if you don't run out of this situation. Like I said, fear makes us run. But if we just stay right where we're at, God has our back. God has the answer. God has the miracle. God has the resolution. Somebody believe that today. God has. Validation. The next thing he says is this. He says, for the Lord will fight for you in verse 14. Here's all you have to do. Don't mess it up. And shut up. I know, I'm not supposed to say that. Sorry. Sorry, students. Don't say that to your parents. But sometimes, how many knows God has the right to tell us to shut up? You know why? Because they were about to ruin this whole thing with their stupid talking. Their unintelligent, fear-filled junk. So Moses says, don't be afraid, stand firm, and shut your mouth. And there's some times in life where it's hard to think of anything positive to say. You know what? Just be quiet. Nothing else, do that for the rest of us. Don't ruin our faith. Don't ruin our day. That's okay. There's sometimes where it's hard to be positive. It's hard to think of something good. You know what? I just want to tell you, be silent. You know why? Because there's power in what we say. You know what was happening? Here's probably what happened. One person, one negative person started it. Isn't that how it always starts? You watch this. around a table sometime, one person will tell a terrible story. Oh, the worst thing happened. It's funny, we started CR at our church, and we have a family member, love her to death, but she just always has like the worst stories. And so we were talking about the powerful things that happened at our CR, and then this person's like, well, the most horrible thing happened at a CR in this certain town. And like she told this totally depressing story, and it like totally sucked all the faith from the table. Like I was just waiting on three or four other people to tell depressing CR stories of things that just went terrible, right? Isn't that how it happens? We start to try to one-up our terrible stories. Oh, well, they were sick. Well, you don't know, you know, how I was sick. Right? Because that's how fear and that's how doubt and unbelief works. There was probably one person in that crowd that said, well, we're out here. Look, there's a sea here. There's mountains there. There's nowhere for us to go. We should have just stayed home. We should have just stayed in Egypt. We should have just stayed slaves. At least there we had a little bit of food. Na, 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 na. And then what? Someone 15 feet away starts saying the same thing. And their little circle starts talking a negative talk. And before you know it, we have all of these people that God has done incredible things for talking negatively. And they're about to ruin the miracle that God wants to perform. So Moses has to tell them, stay silent. And I want to tell you that our mouth is a powerful weapon. And I don't know about you, but I'm going to do my best to speak faith. And if there's some days where all I could say is, I don't understand why this is happening, but God has a reason why, and God has us in his hands, and God's going to take care of us. I'm going to try to say something positive. Why? Because faith feeds itself. Sometimes you got to feed your own faith. You got to think of something positive to say. You got to come up with some way to build up your faith. Why? Because faith is the only way to encourage yourselves in some situations. And negative talking will destroy a miracle. Negative talking can keep us from experiencing the breakthrough that God has for us. So stay silent. Don't talk negative talk. If you have to say anything, if you can't say anything good, don't say anything at all. Isn't that what Mama always said? Next, the next thing that God speaks to them, and he speaks to them through Moses. He says in Exodus 14, verse 15, the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward. Lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, that the people of Israel may go through the sea on dry ground. And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them. And I will get glory over Pharaoh, over all of his hosts, his chariots and his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten glory over Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen." So the fourth thing that God tells Moses is to move forward. To move forward. He tells him, he says, "Why do you cry to me?" Verse 15. Why are you crying to me? Think about that for a second. I think sometimes God tells us that. Sometimes we love to complain to God, right? We love to, "Oh God, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What should we do? God, give us an answer." And you know what God is telling Moses? You know what to do. You've got this. And he says, tell the people of Israel to go forward. And I believe that's the word that God has for us this year, in 2018, is that we need to go forward. I'm not going to be intimidated by the enemy that's coming after me. I'm not going to be intimidated by the topography of the situation. I'm going to go forward. And sometimes it takes a lot of faith to go forward. Sometimes it takes a lot of belief and trust in God to go forward, especially when the only place to go is through a sea. But here's what I found, that when we take a step in faith with God, the supernatural starts to happen. And if you want the supernatural to move in your life, and if you want to see the miraculous move in your life, you're going to have to step forward in some places that aren't comfortable, and you don't know how it's going to work out. So he says, tell them to move forward. And he said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, that the people of Israel may go through on dry ground. Now, that staff that Moses had, God had used that. It was just a common, ordinary staff. There was nothing supernatural about it in itself, but it was something that God used to do incredible things. And so when Moses, he took that staff, what I think that represented, it was the spiritual dominion and the spiritual gifts that God had given Moses through that staff. And I want to tell you that we need to move forward, and we're going to do it. How are we going to do it? Through the power of the Holy Ghost that's in our life. How do you know that there's power in our prayer language? There's power in speaking in tongues. There's power, and not only that, in prophesying. There's power in the gifts that God has given us. God's given us gifts of faith. God has given us gifts of prophecy. All of these things are so that we can do the supernatural, God doing the supernatural through us. And here's the thing, is that oftentimes we're asking God to do what we can do. Now, sure, it was God that opened up the Red Sea, but before God opened up the Red Sea, what did Moses have to do? He had to lift up his staff. He had to use the spiritual dominion God had given him. And here's the thing, God has miracles for us. God has answers for us, but we have to pray and we have to fast like it depends on us. Ultimately, it depends on God, but I have to use what he's given me for those miracles to come to pass. I have to pray the prayer. I have to get in a prayer closet, and I might have to go into spiritual warfare for that to happen. It just doesn't happen automatically. I got to position myself for the Red Sea to open up. I've got to do what God's called me to do for the Red Sea to open up. And how many knows that we're going to take dominion this year? We're not going to give up on our prayer life. And I want to just encourage you. I forgot to announce this. Tomorrow night and Tuesday night, we're going to have special prayer meetings. You know what that is? That's an opportunity for us to raise our staff, to raise up that rod and say, okay, God, we believe you're going to perform the miracles. You're going to open up the Red Sea, but we're going to do what we know you've called us to do, and we're going to pray, and we're going to fast, and we're just going to sit back, and we're going to move forward and watch as you open up the seas, and we're going to walk on dry ground. Amen. Come on, somebody. Anybody believe that? So I've got to move forward. You see, sometimes when problems come, when challenges come, our faith is paralyzed by fear, and we stop praying, we stop believing, and we stop doing. But something happens, the supernatural starts to happen when all of that's going on. And we say, you know what, honey? We're moving forward. We're not going to let this situation destroy us. We're going to pray even more. Come on. We're going to believe even more. We're going to believe for bigger blessings than we've ever believed for in our family's history. We're going to believe that God's going to do the supernatural. Despite what we see going around us, we're going to see incredible things happen, and there will be miracles. Amen. So God was telling Moses, Moses, the miracle's in your hand. I'll do it, but you have to lift up that faith. You got to lift up. It was that same staff where Israel, we were in a battle, and Moses had a couple men hold his hands up, and as long as his hands were up, the Israelites won the battle. But as soon as he put those hands down, they started to lose the battle. And that just illustrates the point. As long as you do what God has called you to do, as long as I exercise my faith, as long as I continue to pray, as long as I believe to give God glory, he's going to fight on my behalf. But the moment I get negative, and the moment I put that rod down, and the moment that I just kind of think that it's all, my faith doesn't matter, and none of it matters, it's just all fate. Well, I want to tell you, you're going to see negative things happen. But as long as you stand in faith and believe in faith, God will fight the battle for you. But why? Because the miracle is on him. He's the only one that can do it. And so there's this cooperation between God and man, right? God does the miracle, but I have to do my part. I have to believe. I have to pray the prayer. I'm going to tell you, prayer matters. Prayer matters. You know, some people have this attitude, whatever will be, will be. God's already got it figured out. If God knows the end from the beginning, what do I have to pray? Well, the reason you pray is this, is that God wants you to be involved in the miracle. He does it, but he gives us the privilege of being involved in it and being partners in the miracle. That's why we got to pray. That's why we got to believe. Because God wants us to experience the supernatural in our prayer life. And here's what I want to show us here today, is that this Red Sea miracle, it's probably one of the most famous miracles in the Bible, but it wasn't the last one. You see, everywhere that Israel went on their journey to the Canaan land, every place that they stopped, God had a supernatural occurrence happen to preserve them and to keep them. The Red Sea was just one of many miracles. And in Psalm 78, it tells us about this. It says, in the sight of their fathers, he performed wonders in the land of Egypt, in the fields of Zoan. He divided the sea and let them pass through it, and made the waters stand like a heap. In the daytime, he led them with a cloud, and at all the night with a fiery light. He split rocks in the wilderness, and he gave them drink abundantly as from the deep. And what that's talking about is, as they reached a place in the wilderness where there was no water, and Moses, he took that staff, and he struck the rock, and water came out of that rock. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. When they needed water, God gave them water. He made streams come out of the rock, and he caused waters to flow down like rivers. Verse 23, yet he commanded the skies above and opened up the doors of heaven. And he rained down upon them manna to eat, and he gave them the grain of heaven. Man ate the bread of angels, and he sent them food in abundance. You see, they had no food in the desert. So God created supernaturally manna, which was like a flour-like substance to fall on the ground. And every day they came out and they collected. Every day they had enough to eat for that day. That's a miracle. Then they go through the wilderness and they decide that that manna, it wasn't enough, that they needed meat. How many need some meat? If you're going to be doing the Daniel fast today, go get you that quarter pounder today. Stock up. I think Burger King's got two Whoppers for $6 right now. Just putting that out there. Amen. But they wanted meat, and so here's what God did. They were 50 miles away from where there would be any quail. And he caused a strong wind to blow, and it blew probably billions of quail to where they were, and they fell right on the ground. Hundreds of square miles of dead quail. Now, that doesn't sound good to me, but when you're in the wilderness and hungry, that probably sounds really good. And the Bible says that there were feet of accumulation of quail for hundreds of square miles. He caused the east wind to blow in the heavens, and by his power, he led out the south wind, and he rained meat on them like dust, winged birds like the sand of the seas. He led them, he let them fall in the midst of their camp and all around their dwellings, and they ate and were filled, for he gave them what they craved. How many knows that's the kind of God that we serve? Every place that you go on the journey, God has a miracle already prepared for you. God has water where there is no water. God has money where there is no money. God has supernatural provision for it. There will be miracles in 2018. Does anybody believe that? Can we stand on our feet?